Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. As always, I've started my day off with prayer, with Bible study already before I even got to you, because I was just up early this morning. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That's been in my spirit since Sunday morning, and it's still there, just waking up in the morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And my mind has been stayed on Jesus because, you know, when you're going through some things, you need to take some time and put your mind on Jesus. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you this morning, grateful, thankful, and blessed to be awake. Thankful, grateful, and blessed that you gave us a do-over, Lord God, that you gave us an opportunity to move forward, to have another day with a word from you, Lord God. Just heart, touch his mind, touch his spirit, that those that hear it, Lord God, will hear your voice, will know that you are speaking to them, Lord God, as you speak to me. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to be a servant to you, to lead, to follow, to do whatever it is you ask me to do, Father God. I thank you for the shepherd of my church. I thank you, Lord God, for our support. I thank you for my sisters in Christ. And Lord, I thank you for this month of womanhood that you are allowing us to know, hallelujah, that we as women are important, that we have done great things for the kingdom, and that we will do great things for this world. Lord God, I thank you today for the Deborahs of the word. I thank you for the Ruths and even the Rahabs, oh God, which we will be getting to. I thank you for all the women that you have given us in the Bible, especially the mother of our Savior, Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for giving her the greatest gift ever, to be the mother of the Savior of this world. And Lord, as we are in this season, knowing, Lord God, that this gift that you gave her gave his life for me, gave his life for us, died on Calvary's cross for our sins and for the sins of this wicked world. Lord God, I lift up everyone today who is seeking more time with you, seeking you in their hearts, minds, and souls. Lord, I seek you today and ask you to increase as I decrease. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, as I pray every day, will be acceptable in your sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You, Father God, are my redeemer. And without you, I cannot do this. So I ask you, Lord God, in the name of Christ Jesus, help me to move forward. Give me what to say. Remove all flesh and put in your spirit. For, Lord, I am an empty vessel. For it is in you that I live, that I move, that I have my being. I am nothing without you, Father God. I declare and decree on this day, this is your day, that you, oh God, hallelujah, will lead and I will follow. But you are my God. You are my Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. For you, O God, are in charge and the center of my life. In Jesus' name, I lift up my nation. I lift up all the people in this planet. I ask you, oh God, to guide each and every one of us towards you, toward light and away from darkness. Vaccinated, protect those that will be vaccinated. Protect those that will not be vaccinated. But Lord, you are in charge of our life. And it is you, Lord God, that's in charge of our death. But only you know the day, and only you know the hour. In Jesus' name, I lift up all leaders and ask you, God, to help them to guide this nation in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. As I said, I've been awake a long time this morning, just couldn't sleep. You know, I got things in order for my day, and I just kept asking God, show me, Lord, the way that you want me to go. And I did finish the Bible study that I'm doing, and then I went and listened to a wonderful message by a wonderful woman of God. I couldn't get into the call for some reason. You know how the enemy will try to keep you off your square. He will try to keep you from hearing what you need to hear. So shout out to my sister in Christ, Prophetess Nalo Mitchell, an awesome woman of God who gave me the information that I need. And hopefully one of these days we'll be able to get Prophetess Nalo to come on and speak with you all. But today we are back in Bible study, as always, every day through Friday Bible study. And today we are coming out of our word today, which is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And as those that are with me every day know, we will finish this word, the whole entire Bible. God willing, as I say, in the creek don't rise, we will finish from Genesis to Revelation by December 31st. We started in Genesis chapter 1 on January 1st, and God willing, we will be finishing up on December 31st with Revelation chapter 22. So let's get started. Numbers chapter 15 through chapter 16, verse 50. We will also be in our Psalms word this morning. It's Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 16 through 18. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 19. And our word this morning is coming out of Mark. As we will get to in this lesson today, we will be reading the word. And Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. You know, he had to remind Pharisees of the scripture because folks was buying and selling and losing their minds in the house of God. And as we go through this word this morning, you know, Moses is doing his best with these folks. We know folks can be something else that are within the body. And Moses had to deal with so much them tens just creating confusion on yesterday. And so now we got to do some repenting today. And Moses is going to get things straight. You know, we're going to get through some words this morning because Moses wants the children of Israel to make it in. But now, because of their disobedience, because of their unbelief, because they didn't realize that with God, all things are possible, including getting into your promised land and beating down giants and doing the things that man say you can't do, but God said you can. And we got to have that faith. And they didn't. They chose unbelief over belief that the Father could take them through. So as an overview, that is our overview. So we are in chapter 15, and this is after God has told them, you're not getting in. 40 years you're going to wander this desert. 40 years. You're going to be out here. And the only ones of your generation, and that's them folks, and I believe it's age 20, and I believe, let me go back and look real quick to make sure I give you the right information. But this is what he told them. It said, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore to you. And this is what it says if we go back up to chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 29. And this is what he told them. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. But note, he did say the complaint that complained. Everybody didn't complain. But the ones that are getting in of the 12, only two, Caleb and Joshua. The rest of them, for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. That's what the Lord said. Now Moses is saying, okay, now we got to do some repenting up in here. And chapter 15, verse 1 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land you are to inherit, which I am giving to you, and you make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering or in your appointed feast to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the herd or the flock, then he who presents the offering to the Lord shall bring a grain offering of 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering you shall prepare with the burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb or for a ram. You shall prepare as a grain offering 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/3 of a hin of oil. And as a drink offering, you shall offer 1/3 of a hin of wine as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And when you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering or as a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a peace offering to the Lord, then shall be offered with the young bull a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of the fine flour mixed with half a hin of oil. And you shall bring as the drink offering half a hin of wine as an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord. Thus it shall be done for each young bull, for each ram, or for each lamb or young goat, according to the number that you prepare, so you shall do with everyone according to their number. All who are native born shall do these things in this manner, in presenting an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if a stranger dwells with you, or whoever is among you throughout your generations, and will present an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you, an ordinance forever throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law, one custom shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land in which I bring you, then it will be when you eat of the bread of the land that you shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your grain meal as a heave offering, as a heave offering of the threshing floor. So shall you offer it up on the first of your grain meal. You shall give to the Lord a heave offering throughout your generations. If you sin unintentionally and do not observe all these commandments which the Lord has spoken to Moses, all that the Lord has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day the Lord gave commandment and onward throughout your generations, then it will be it the knowledge of the congregation that the whole congregation shall offer one young bull as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma to the Lord, with its grain offering and its drink offering according to the ordinance, and one kid of the goat as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it was unintentional. They shall bring their offering and the offering made by fire to the Lord in their sin offering before the Lord for their unintended sin. It shall be forgiven the whole congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who dwells among them, because all the people did it unintentionally. And if a person sins unintentionally, then he shall bring a female goat in his first year as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the person who sins unintentionally when he sins unintentionally before the Lord to make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, for him who is native born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners, and you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." God didn't play. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. Come on now, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and he said, do all your work on them 6 days. And on the one day, you got to rest. Keep it holy. Rest. Rest. And this is what he said, because this person was blatant. It's like, I'm getting my wood. I ain't got time for all this mess. And he lost his life. We better understand, God does not play. And this is what it says. The person who does anything presumptuously brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. All sin separates us from God, but some sins bring a harsher judgment than others. Presumptuous sins, brazenly knowing, defiant, arrogant, premeditated sins carry a heavy penalty. Only fools plan to sin and ask forgiveness later. We better understand God don't play. I'm not speaking just to you. I'm speaking to myself. If you know you're getting ready to do some dirt, well, I'm going to do the dirt, then I'm going to ask forgiveness. You have been presumptuous. You have been presumptuous. And you will pay a price for it. Father God, we ask forgiveness for sins known and unknown. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, who took our sins to the cross, forgive your presumptuous children, but we sin unknowingly. We got to ask forgiveness, and don't do it. If the devil puts something in your spirit to do, don't do it. Don't do it, because you know where it comes from. If it's not of God, you know God didn't tell you to do it. Then don't. If you do, you better be repentant and don't do it again. The enemy is the most wicked. In that time of sleep, between 12 and 3 in the morning, when things start going down between 12 and 3, know that it is not God, it's the enemy. And he is tempting, he is doing everything he can to get you off your square. Because you're tired, you may not be able to sleep, you may be going through, that's when he's going to attack. And it's taken me this long to understand the witching hour, the time that the devil is busy, from midnight to 3 in the morning. Pray and pray some more. And ask God to remove all that wickedness from around you, that you are protected by the blood of Jesus, that your home is protected, that your children are protected, that everybody you love and care about are protected. And you thank God. Thank him. Hallelujah. The devil is busy, but we know we serve a mighty God. When we say, forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors, we're asking God to forgive us the debt of sin as we forgive those that sin against us. And as we continue in this word, chapter 16 of the book of Numbers. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourself. There's a jealousy spirit. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Okay, y'all. Y'all know what's been ready to happen, right? Let's keep moving, because y'all going to find out. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. This man prayed all the time. He was just like Jesus in his prayer life. That's why when you saw the transfiguration, Moses was one of the ones with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, because they both were always in prayer, always. Moses was praying and interceding constantly for these wicked folks, just like Jesus is constantly interceding for us. Oof, this is what it says. I told y'all a great word this morning. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all the company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Then that one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers, Korah and all your company, put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the holy one. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, your sons of Levi, you sons of Levi, it is a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi with you, and are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, "We will not come up. It is a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them." And Moses said to Korah, "Tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they, as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer." So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Then they fell on their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be angry with all the congregation?" So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Then Moses rose and went to Dathan, Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed them. And he spoke to the congregation, "Part now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives and sons and their little children. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all their belongings to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord." Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, and all the men with Korah, all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, "Let the earth swallow us up also." And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censers out of the blaze, for they are holy, and scatter the fire some distance away. The censers of these men who sinned against their own souls, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar, because they presented them before the Lord. Therefore, they are holy. and they shall be a sign to the children of Israel. So Elijah, those who were burned up, presented, and they were hammered out as a covering on the altar, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his companions, just as the Lord had said to him through Moses. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now it happened, when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tabernacle meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the assembly, and already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700 beside those who died. Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle meeting, for the plague had stopped. Wow. And this is a word from chapter 16. "Know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will." God places whomever he wills wherever he wants them. We have no right to claim a place of authority for ourselves. As servants of God, we should delight in whatever place he gives us. Moses only did what God sent him to do. Centuries later, Jesus said, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, for I always do those things that please him." John chapter 8, verses 28 to 29. Moses did not choose to do what he did. Moses did not choose to go back and bring these hard-hearted folks out of slavery. He didn't choose. God chose him, and he accepted the call with reluctance, because he said, his brother had to speak for him. But then you think this through. When you're trying to do what's right, there's always going to be somebody trying to stumble you, trying to put a block in front of you. These sons of Korah, these Korahites, they just knew they had it going on because they were Levites. You know, what did it say? Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Korah, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, on the sons of Bilhah, of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders. You think that through. 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Now understand, when we talked about in yesterday's lesson, again, 10 leaders. These are not just anybody in the congregation. These are leaders. And when leaders come up against God's anointed, it creates confusion. Leaders are supposed to lead what they're supposed to lead. They are not to try to take over the congregation and the church. That's how churches get split up all the time, because somebody wants to be a Korah. They want to be a Korahite. They want to be the one in charge. They want to be a Korah. I'm a Korah. Why is this person in charge? Well, I think we should be just as much. And what happened? Earth opened up. You think this through. Nobody's ever seen this. Earth opened up and swallowed them whole. A lot. there. Big hole. Closed up. Not only was it like a big old hole, but it closed up behind them. Come on now. And then all those other ones, thinking they was all that, consumed. And then the followers whining and complaining because they Moses done brought us out here and now he's trying to kill us and he's trying to do this and he's trying to do that. Okay, complainers. What happened? 14,700 beside those who died in the Korah incident died from the plague. Unbelief. Psalms word this morning. Psalms 32, 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I would confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Proverbs 11:16-18. A gracious woman, and this is again in this month of women, a gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. Wow, what a word. And a Psalms lesson is this, life lesson is Psalms 32 and 5. I acknowledge my to you, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Confession clears our heart spiritually and makes it possible for us once more to experience deep fellowship with God. Unconfessed sin makes us weak, discouraged, and ultimately miserable. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. That's a word. That's a preachable word all by itself. David, the joy of forgiveness. Psalms 32, 1 through 11. Psalms 32 is David's confession of his sin with Bathsheba. He wrote it after his encounter with the prophet Nathan, and probably after he had spent time alone with God in prayer and repentance. If we were to give this psalm a title, a good one would be the joy of forgiveness. David writes, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed can be translated, how happy. Sin blocks our fellowship with the Lord. It does. It also keeps us from experiencing God's goodness. David could not enjoy a sweetness of God's presence so long as he had not repented of his sin. When you find yourself discouraged because you have repeated a certain sin, turn to God in prayer. Ask him to apply his forgiveness to your life and receive his mercy. He loves you and wants to enjoy your fellowship once again. Proverbs 11 and 17. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Wow. And that's the rest of this word. It's this. It says the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he is cruel. But who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. And that's Proverbs 11, verses 16 through 18. And Dr. Stanley says this of that word. The Lord calls us to do what is good and right, not only because godly living reflects his own holy character, but also because it benefits and blesses us. Living by God's word is the healthy way to live. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. 11 verses 1 through 19. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found a colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosening the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree, having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who brought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. And that is our word for this morning. And the Dr. Stanley Life Lessons for Mark chapter 11, verse 10, is Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. Many in the crowd recognized Jesus as the Son of David who would come to reign, but they misunderstood the timing and the nature of his reign. They didn't understand that he had to give his life as a sacrifice before he comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that he is. As he comes back, whoo, hallelujah, to take his place, to take his throne. He came in like a humble servant, but he will come back as a mighty king. Mark 11:14, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." This is the only destructive miracle reported in the Gospels. Jesus meant it to picture God's displeasure with a people who appear religious, but whose lives remain barren of the fruits of godliness. Wow. That's a word. That is a word. Understand. Our Daddy God is in charge of our life. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. He knows everything about us, including the number of the hairs on our head. We don't even know how much hair we have on our head. We know if we have a lot. We know if we don't have any. We know if we have a little. But God has numbered them and knows everyone. We are highly favored by God, his children. We are his anointed. We are his progeny. And we got to act like it. We got to act like it. We got to love each other. We got to care. We got to have those fruits of the Spirit. And the most important one is love. You got to love each other. we got to love each other. We got to forgive just like God forgives. But understand that when somebody is just, you can forgive, but you got to let them go. You got to let them go so they don't take you down into the pit with them. Some folks, you got to say, I can't hang with you. Because think about it. All those folks that was falling after Cora, all those folks that were whining and complaining, Aaron and Moses. In other words, they was talking about God and God's choices. Well, why did God choose them? I'm just as good as they are, da da da. And woo woo woo. And what happened? 14,000 folks. 14,700 besides those who died with the Korah. Complaining, whining and complaining. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, get away from among the congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. So Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. And have we ever thought that the plague that begun in this planet, on this planet, all over this planet, may be because we forgot God was. Do we ever think that the over 500,000 people in this nation that have died was because we forgot about God? Today is a good day. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, to be saved. Today is a good day to say, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. We need Jesus. Yes, there's this vaccine. But it's not a cure. They're talking herd mentality, that it was a herd of pigs filled with the legion that went into the sea. We got to have a God mentality. Lord God, I trust in you to keep me safe. I trust in you to keep my family alive. I trust in you that COVID will not come nigh to my home, to my family, to my children, to my grandchildren, to my great-grandchildren, and beyond. I put my trust in you. God is in charge of our life. It is God, this is where we need to go, and it is God that will lead us. When we trust and believe in him, as Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. We've got to pray. The church body must pray. We must lean on the word of God and pray without ceasing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes trajectory. It changes the trajectory of our nation, of our planet. I don't want the earth opening up and swallowing me and mine because of disobedience, because of envy, because of jealousy, because of ungodliness, because of confusion. Starting confusion, starting dissension, starting the things that are not of God within the house of God. Lord God, I pray today for this nation that we will learn to unite as one people under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father God, you are in charge. And today I lift up the name of Jesus. For this will be a house of prayer. I pray, Lord God, that you lead us and guide us in the direction that you would like for us to go. That we will hear, stop, listen, and hear your voice. For you, Lord God, are in charge of all things. You make all things possible. You are a leader. You lead us and you guide us. And I thank you, Father God, for your mighty word this morning. I ask that it uplifted, that it healed, that it gave an affirmation, and that it gave something, someone something to think about. In your son's name, Lord, I thank you for those that are listening and ask you to bless each and every one with the desire of their heart. For you know what they need and you know what they pray for. And Lord God, we know a righteous prayer avail much. Father God, I ask you to continue watching over our president and vice president and their families, Lord God. And I say a special prayer for all the families that are looking at tables without loved ones that have gone on from this awful plague that hit our world. Father God, I ask you to forgive us each of our sins and that you remove this plague from us. And that we know that it was you, the scientists, the information they needed to create the vaccine. That it was you who made it possible for those that were sick, that lived. That it was you who was always in the midst. I thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Thank you, Father God, for giving us a do-over, for giving us another opportunity to serve you. Father God, let our houses be houses of prayer. Let our churches be houses of prayer for the nation. Lord God, let this America be a light, God is. And Lord, help us to unite under love and not under hatred, not under truth and not under lies. For you, Father God, will bring all things done in the dark into the light. For you, Lord God, are light. You, Lord God, are love. You, Lord God, are our Father. And we are grateful and thankful that you love each and every one of us. In the name of the matchless Savior, our Savior, our brother, our friend, Christ Jesus, we thank you. Amen, amen. This house should be a house of prayer. Hallelujah. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning from Carolyn's Gift. And our word for this morning is this. Always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday. I receive that word. I receive that word. That my present situation is not my final destination. That my best is yet to come. I receive that word. I lift my hand in receipt of that word from God. Thank you so much, my sister in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for this gift that she uses for the good of those that believe. Lord God, may her word add a blessing to the hearers of her word. And Lord, I ask that a blessing be to those that hear and receive this word this morning. But Lord, we don't want to be sucked up into the pit. We want to move forward in you. Thanking God for the word this morning, family. That's all I got. If there's anybody that's got a word from God, push the number 1 on your phone or your social media and give that word. Because it has been a great word this morning. Whew, I'm filled up. It has been a great word this morning. I have had words from 4 this morning until now. And I am just thanking God for all of it. Every last word has been rich. And I just thank you. So thank you, family, for listening in this morning. Thank you for moving forward in the word of God with me. Let our journey, hallelujah, continue on tomorrow as we move forward through the word of God in the book of Numbers and in the book of Mark and in Proverbs and Psalms. But God has given us some rich words to contemplate on, to meditate on, and to think about. Thanking God this morning. For again, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed, for it is, a wrap. And I say again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family. Have a great day. And remember that we got the best is yet to come. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you. And I thank God for each of you. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.